It's good to see everybody out this morning to come to worship God, to learn from His Word. It's such an encouragement over this weekend to have seen y'all come out, to hear from God's Word, to study from Him, to learn more from His will. So far we've looked at our first lesson was the fear of the Lord, this idea of an attitude that will manifest itself, that will show itself through our actions. We've then looked at yesterday the example of Daniel as a young man and as an older man, a man who never wavered in his faith and his obedience to God. But today I want to look at Peter and look at Peter's example and then his admonitions that he gives in the book of 2 Peter. I'd like to start off there in 2 Peter in chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter 2 and in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no chapter 2, starting verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then having known it, to turn away the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Here in 2 Peter, Peter gives this admonition. He gives this warning of the possibility, a very real possibility, and the serious consequences of losing one's faith, of becoming unfaithful. Now, if we can remember the story of Peter, we know that Peter has a little bit of knowledge about this firsthand. We can go back, and which we will do, turning over the Mark 14, which will be the text for a good part of this morning's lesson. We can see that at one time, Peter loses his faith. Peter is not the Christian. He is not the man that he should have been. He ends up denying Christ, and we'll look at that in his example. We will look at the signs of what takes place in the falling away of Peter, and then we'll go back to 2 Peter, and we'll look at some more passages that will show the very same warnings about the things that Peter went through there in Mark 14. So turning over to Mark chapter 14, and we'll start reading in verse 27 of Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Here, I'd like to suggest, is the very beginning of Peter's fall into denying Christ. This attitude that we see here in these very first few verses show an attitude of pride. Here it is, Christ, the man whom Peter has confessed already to be the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. And here we see, after Christ tells him, "You're going to deny me, all are going to walk away from me," Peter says, "Not me. I'm better than that. I'm not going to go in that way." He has a proud, boastful manner that he claims he's not going to fall away. He's not going to deny Christ. In so doing, Peter takes the first steps in that backsliding, in the losing of his faith that night. Let's turn over to Proverbs 16. Proverbs, of course, has much to say on this idea of pride. And in Proverbs 16, verse 18, reading, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." Again, we see Solomon warning in the book of Proverbs about pride. We can also turn to 1 Corinthians and we can see Paul in his writing to the Corinthians in chapter 9 warns the man who thinks that he is stands, the man who thinks too much of himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." The idea behind pride, I believe, is this idea that leads to sin. It is this attitude that says, I don't need help, I'm good on my own, I don't need what you've said, I don't need to listen, I don't need to heed, I'm all right, I'm good, I'm perfect. It is this attitude that causes one to think too highly of himself. It is this that causes one not to heed the warnings that we have in Christ, in the Word of God. I'd like to also suggest that this is the first step in backsliding, in losing of one's faith, because the opposite, humility, is the very first step that it takes for somebody to come to Christ. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and in verse 3, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We see here this idea of humility. Christ commands, he says it is needed for one to enter into heaven, for salvation. And that is simply because this idea of humility says that we are not good. We have sin. Romans 3:23, of course, tells us that all have sinned. It is humility that causes us to say, we are sinners, we need help. The pride is the exact opposite, saying that I'm good. I don't have to worry about these things. Peter thought too highly of himself. Here it is, Christ, the man he knows to be the Messiah, warns him, gives him this warning, tells him, you're going to do this. In the entire time that Peter's known Christ, Christ having never sinned, he's never lied to Peter. He's never misinformed Peter. And yet here Peter is, not thinking about that, but thinking of himself, thinking that he is better than those around him, thinking that even if all others leave you, I'm not going to. I'm better than that. It is this attitude that's going to cause him to be lax in his faith in the rest of this evening. It is just that first step down the path that Peter takes towards denying Christ. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 now. 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 now. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Again, we have these examples in Scripture, in the Word of God, that we may learn from them. This morning, I want us to look at Peter. I want us to learn from Peter's example so that this never happens to us, that we do not walk down this path. If we start walking down it, we've already failed. It is not something that you go all the way to the end and then you failed. But the moment that you start down this path, you have failed in your faith. You have failed in your obedience to God. Let us take these example that we have in Peter. Let us take Peter's admonition this morning and take it into our hearts that we may learn that we may not suffer from the loss of faith. Continuing on in Mark 14. In Mark 14, starting in verse 32 now, and we'll read 32 through 42 at this time. "Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch.' He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now here, after having just warned Peter that you're going to deny me, you are going to leave me this night, he then brings Peter, James, and John a little further, and speaking directly to Peter in verse 37, he says, What? Are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? I'd like to suggest that the second sign, the second step down that path towards losing one's faith is laziness, not doing what one needs to be done. We looked, of course, in the first lesson in the fear of the Lord about the idea that a person who fears God is going to be hard at work. They're not going to be idle. There's always something for them to be doing. It is this lack of diligent preparation which causes Peter to be caught off guard, as is warned by Christ there in verse 38. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Indeed, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He tells Peter, you don't want to. You say that your spirit does not want to sin, does not want to enter into temptation, but you need to be on guard. You need to watch and pray, to be on guard, to be about the work, so that this does not happen. But does Peter do so? He does not. And so he, in this action, takes that second step down this road, down this path. He's caught off guard. Without diligence, we too, without this hard work in our life, we too can be found unprepared in the day of judgment. Let's turn over to Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Again, we see a warning about being on guard. Of being watchful, of being about work. Often it is laziness that causes us to stop. It is this idea that I'm not going to, maybe later. That laziness is going to cost us. It is the second step. Turning over the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1 starting, Hebrews 2 starting in verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Once again, we have a warning from the writer in Hebrews that if we are not watching, if we are not paying attention, we are going to begin to drift away. We are going to begin to fall away. When we are proud of ourselves, when we think that we have the answers, when we think that we're all right, we become lazy. Because this idea of pride says, I don't need help. I don't need to do these things. I'm good. And that causes laziness in our life, and that easily leads to the very next step that we see in Peter's life. Turning back over to Mark 14. Mark 14. And this time we'll skip down to verse 53. Verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. Here we see Peter following at a distance. He is ashamed to be seen with Christ at this time. Christ, he understands, is most likely going to lose his life. And so he is ashamed. He follows at a distance. It says again there, Peter following at a distance. Now Christ has become extremely unpopular. He does not want to be seen. He does not want to be identified as a follower of Christ. And so this laziness leads to this cowardice. It leads to this ashamed of being seen with him. Without our diligent preparation in our own lives, without being humble, without being faithful and hard at work, it is easy to become lazy. It is easy to become ashamed. Ashamed to be seen with a Bible. Ashamed to be seen reading. Ashamed to be seen with other Christians. Ashamed to be seen praying. And that's not all right. We have nothing to be ashamed about, for our God is great. Our God is awesome. He has done so much for us. He is the way that we must follow. Christ makes it clear that he is not pleased with those who would be ashamed. Let's turn over to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. As we think there in verse 8, the very first thing that it talks about of those who would be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, the second death, that very first thing that it lists is the cowardly. Here, Revelations, John shows what God thinks about someone who is cowardly. That is, that somebody who is ashamed of God, who is ashamed of Christ. We see a very similar warning in Mark 8 and in verse 38. Mark 8, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And so to the one who would be ashamed, to the one who does not is cowardly, does not want to be seen as a follower of Christ, Christ will also be ashamed also when judgment occurs. And so we see here this second step, this third step, in Peter's life towards denying Christ. Going back to Mark 14, and we'll read that again, verse 54. Mark 14, verse 54 again. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself by the fire. These are the people. This is the place that they are going to put the death the Christ, to put the death Jesus. And we find that Peter is sitting with the servants of the high priest. He has made himself comfortable with those around him, with those of the world. He warms himself by the fire. Being ashamed to be seen with Christ, it becomes easy for him to just be content with sitting out there with the servants and warming himself by the fire. It becomes easy for him to enjoy the comforts that is found in the world. But one cannot be comforted in the world without being burned for eternity. One cannot be in the world and have life. For if we choose to be warmed by the fire like Peter did here, and we don't turn back to God, we have another fire to look forward to. It is not a fire that we want to be in. We can turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. Solomon, once again, warning of being close, of having a friendship with the world. In verse 27, Proverbs 6, verse 27, Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Again, we see this idea of messing with fire, of being comforted in things of this world. Here, the Proverbs writer there, Solomon, he warns that if you choose that heat of the world, if you choose that the comforts of the world, you're going to be burned. You're going to pay for it. We cannot flirt with the world. We cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in God. It does not work this way. It is an all or nothing. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians once again, this time chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And in verse 33 reading. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Peter has distanced himself already from Christ. Now he is drawing close to those of the world. And this is going to have a negative effect as we continue reading in Peter's life. So it is with us that we cannot distance ourselves from God and become close to the world without paying a consequence. As we go back to Mark 14 once again, this time reading in verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Here, as we've seen, Peter has started with a proud attitude, thinking that he is going to be faithful no matter what, not heeding the admonitions, not heeding the warning that Christ gave. He becomes lazy there in the garden. He does not pray that he does not enter into temptation. He then becomes ashamed as Christ is taken away and distance himself from Christ, drawing close to the world. And then finally, the last and final step, he denies Christ. Away from Christ, at comfort with those in the world, with the comforts of the world, Peter finds himself denying his Lord and Savior, who just shortly ago he proclaimed as the Son of God. In so doing, he put himself in a grave danger in denying Christ. Let's turn over to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 32, Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Peter at this very moment is lost. It's something to think about. He's lost. He has now denied Christ, and by Christ's very teaching, a teaching which Peter knew, Peter was there. He understood, he should have understood, the consequences of doing so. Though we may actually never deny Christ in our directly in our speech, saying he's not the Son of God, but we can deny him in our action. By not remaining faithful, by not obeying, by not listening to his commands, we deny Christ. We are called to worship him. We are called to be obedient to him. But when we do not, we deny him. When we are called to worship him and do not, we deny him. When we are to serve and we do not, we deny him. when we are called to suffer for his name's sake and we give up and we deny him. It's something to think about. Though we may never actually say, well, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Christ, our actions will show if we deny Christ or not. We are to follow all the commands of Christ. The Great Commission tells us that much. Turning over to Matthew 28 just to read that. Matthew 28, what is expected of those who would be obedient, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Once again, when we are to follow in all our life, follow all the commands. And as we turn back to Mark 14, once again, Peter understood. Peter knew what just happened. That last part of the verse, of verse 72, then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. And this is good. This is the first good thing that we've seen Peter do in this entire chapter. He wept. He understood what he had just done. He understood the consequences. He understood what it meant to do what he had just done. He knew. I'd like to turn over to Luke's account of this in Luke 22 at this time. Luke chapter 22 and in verse 60. Luke 22 verse 60. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord that how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter, here in Luke's account, it says that he fully understands, he fully realizes when the Lord, when Christ looks at him, when he has that reminder directly in his face, he can see, he can understand. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. How would that make you feel? Christ has just spent the last few hours warning you over and over. You're going to sin, Peter. You're going to deny me. Pray, lest you deny me, lest you enter into temptation. And after all of these warnings, he looks and he sees Christ and he understands what he's just done. He understands this thing that he did. Unlike Judas, who does betray Christ here, Peter shows something that Judas does not, and that is true godly sorrow in what he has done. And of course, we understand that this godly sorrow that Peter shows here in understanding what he has done leads to true repentance. Turning over to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence is produced in you, what clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, and all these things you prove to yourselves to be clear in this matter. Again, this is this fear. This is this godly sorrow that Peter has when he realizes what he has done. Now skipping forward to the book of Peter, this first Peter. Years later, Peter, looking back, writing, gives us some warnings so that we can make sure that we don't take those steps that Peter did. Peter's lucky. Peter realized in time to save his life. Not physical life, but his spiritual life. And he goes on to write in 1 Peter in chapter 5, warnings for us that we may not do what he has done. Let's read verse 5, starting in chapter 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Here we see the very first warning from Peter to guard against pride, to put on humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Peter learned from his lesson, and so in this writing, he gives us these warnings. As we continue on here in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Here, as Peter continues in chapter 5 in his admonitions, his warning against these things, he talks about guarding against laziness, that second step in which Peter took. He commands to be diligent, to be on guard, to be sober, to be vigilant, because the adversary walks about seeking whom he may devour. We can turn over at this time to 2 Peter now. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 reading. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Again, he is warning us, he is telling us that we must be diligent. We must be at work, to be on guard. Skipping down to verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Peter here writing once again says, if you would be on guard, if you would be diligently working for Christ, for God, you won't stumble. If you stay busy, if you stay diligent with your focus on him, you'll be okay. Going forward a couple more chapters to chapter 3 in 2 Peter. In verse 14, once again, Peter warns against laziness and tells them to be diligent. Verse 14 reading, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Once again, we see Peter warning, Peter telling that they must be diligent. They must be on guard. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 4 now. 1 Peter 4. That third step we mentioned that Peter took on his road to denying Christ was to be ashamed to be seen with Christ. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 16 reading, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Once again, we see a warning by Peter against the steps which he took in denying Christ, to be unashamed of God, but to glorify God in all that we do. The next step that we saw that Peter took was worldliness, to be comfortable with being in the world. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 11 reading, 1 Peter 2, verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Once again, Peter warns against being comfortable in the world. He tells them, as sojourners and pilgrims, that is, you're not home. You're visiting. Be on guard. Do not be comfortable in the world, with the world. And finally, that last step that Peter took in denying Christ, in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, he gives one more warning about that. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. here, once again, he says to be ready to give a defense, not to deny, but to always be ready to stand up and to speak for what is true, for what is right. Continuing on in this reading in verse 16, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for being for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Here we see once again this idea in continuing that we are to be blameless, that we are to have a good conscience, to stand for what is true no matter what. Turning over for one last passage, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, in verse 17 reading. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Here, to summarize the entire thing, the entire lesson that Peter's learned, he tells them to beware lest they fall, because that's the very first step that it took for Peter to fall at that time. But we need to remember that Peter was saved. Peter wrote these things that we can learn from his example, that we don't have to go through what he did. Let us learn from this example. Let us think on these things. We must be diligent about our work, always being on guard, to guard our hearts, to make sure that we are following no matter what. We've seen here that it is possible to lose faith as Peter did, but we've also seen here from Peter's example that even if we waver, we still have an opportunity. But that opportunity is passing. It might not be for much longer. We don't know when God is coming back, when judgment will occur. You might not have the time to go back, to turn back to God, to turn back to Christ. Here at this time, if you are subject to the invitation, if you'd like the prayers, if you'd like the help of the congregation in any way, make your needs known as we stand and as we sing.